Okay, good morning. It's a wonderful day. Aren't you glad to be out? I'm grateful to the Lord that we can have Bible study. I'm grateful to Governor Abbott that we can have Bible study. Do you know that in California, the governor says you can't even go to a home Bible study, much less go to church? So we are blessed to have the governor that we have. We are delighted to have everybody. We had 40 enrolled this year, more than in a long, long time, and about 15 new people or some people returning that have not been here in a while, and so that's a thrill for me. I hear some ladies have just retired, and now they're coming to Bible school, so we congratulate them. Okay, we're going to start promptly at 9:30 every morning. The door unlocks at 9, so you can arrive at that time. The door will lock itself again at 9:40, so that we are safe in here. If you are late coming, bang on the door and somebody will let you in. Or you can come down through the upstairs if you want to. Take your notebooks, if you will, and let's start exploring them. On the second page of your notebook, you will find our schedule and assignments and actually a table of contents as well. So down the left-hand side are the days that we will meet. The lesson number is next. Then we have the title of the lessons. Now the first 16 lessons are going to be video partial video. We're going to be listening to a video. For the first time in all the years I've been teaching, I'm using a video, but this was so good I felt like I needed to share it with you. And then I've got the page numbers here on the right so you can find your lesson. So that should not be any problem for you. Today's lesson did have study questions. If you did them ahead of time, good. At the end, if we have time, we will be discussing some of them. If you didn't, that's fine. We'll take your thoughts anyway. You can go home and do that lesson as well as lesson two for next week. I did try to make the study questions a little easier than they were a couple of years ago. I had some complaints about that. So, but there's all sorts of other ways that you could learn about this and do some outside study. You don't just have to stick to your notebook. I will apologize for the quality of the printing. My printer was not working right. And while I live with a rocket scientist, he was not able to fix my printer. Looks like we're going to have to buy one. So what looks like bowl lines is actually a double line. If you think you're seeing double, you really are. My printer is seeing double. So we'll have to worry about that. But just do the best you can with it if you can, if you will. On the next page, you have some suggestions for study. I'm not going to go through those with you. I'm going to let you just read them. I do want to emphasize that this study is not designed to make you feel better about yourself. That's not my method. In the last 100 years, I think our churches have become very me-centered. And we're going to study about God. I hope you leave feeling comforted and having direction in your life and having strength and all of that. But that should come from a knowledge of what the Bible says about God. So that's where we're going to focus today, on God's glory. If you leave here thinking, how can I glorify God more or worship Him better or, in fact, just simply appreciating Him better, then I will have accomplished the task that I've set out for myself. Now, if you'll look at page 5 in your notebook, I'll tell you a little bit about the video series. It's produced by Ligonier Ministries in Orlando, Florida. And those of you who've been here know that Roger and I went to a Bible conference in Orlando a couple of years ago. We heard our speaker down there. The ministry's name is kind of strange, Ligonier, and I can explain that to you. It was started by the late Dr. R.C. Sproul, and you will hear him mentioned on the video. But he started it in Ligonier, Pennsylvania. And that's where the name comes from. I spent many a time trying to figure out what Ligonier meant, but that's what it comes from. Our speaker is Dr. Stephen Lawson. For 35 years, he pastored churches, a couple of churches in Mobile, Alabama, Baptist churches there. He has now resigned from those churches, and he is on the faculty and the board at MacArthur Seminary, the Master Seminary in California. Yay! he meets the stamp of approval, doesn't he? The good housekeeping seal. Okay, and then he's also on he's a teaching fellow at Ligonier Ministry and on the board there. And then he has established his own ministry, One Passion Ministries, in Dallas, Texas. And he flies all over the world, sometimes into very dangerous places, teaching preachers how to preach expositorily. And by that I mean explaining the scripture, not just giving you sweet little outlines to make you feel better, but explaining what the scripture means to you. He is, to my mind, the finest preacher alive today, and that's saying something because I am a John MacArthur fan. I will say, I'll qualify that, he's the finest preacher except for my two sons-in-law. Okay. And I'll take, for those of you who are new, I'll tell you a little bit about myself. Roger and I grew up in East Texas. We went to Sam Houston, forgive us please. We moved to Houston and he worked 35 years for NASA and then we retired when he was 55 and moved to Nacogdoches. We've been here 22 years. Our older daughter is married to Joe, Donna and Joe, and they are missionaries with Wycliffe Bible Study. They were in Cameroon, West Africa for 21 years and in late last year came back to the States where he is an administrator now at the training center in North Carolina, and we are delighted to have them back in the States. Our younger daughter is married to the pastor of Harvest Bible Church in Cypress, Texas. So that's where we are. We have four pastors in our family. My daddy was a minister, our sons-in-law, and then I have a brother-in-law who was a pastor. We have one granddaughter. We hope she marries a doctor or a lawyer. We have enough preachers in the family. Okay. If you want to purchase a bound study guide for Dr. Lawson's lectures, you may from Ligonier or from Amazon. That's $15. You can even download a PDF copy of it if you want to. However, I don't think it's necessary. I've included what I thought was good from the study guide into my study guide. But I did give you the website. If you miss in a or particularly want a session to keep, you can download the individual sessions for a couple of dollars from Ligonier. You can also buy the attributes, the DVD, which I have bought. But there's no point in that because you can also access it free on Right Now Media. That is a media center where our church provides that you can go and sign in and watch a lot of Bible studies free of charge. I sent all of you a page giving you instructions about how to access that. We do have about 6 or 8 distance learners, people who wanted to do the study but couldn't come, and so they're doing it that way. So you can go to Right Now Media, and I've given you instructions for that, and Claudia says they work. She's tried them, so that's good. So if you want to watch the video again, maybe, you can go to Right Now Media and watch it. And then you'll have to go to our church website to download what I say in here and to listen to that. And I've given you instructions for that. If you have any trouble, give me a call, and I will probably have to come to your house and show you how to do it. But it should be easily done.
Do you have to be just any kind of connection with the church to sign in and log in? So like my son wanted to watch these videos.
Yes, you may, anybody who has any kind of connection, and if he's your son, I inform him that he has a connection. It's free to anybody, and anybody's welcome to join if you have a connection. And if you just have a friend who knows you, go ahead and tell them. We don't want to hinder God's study. So you can do that. And I do want to say while I'm thinking about it, when you speak, do speak nice and loudly so everybody can hear you, and so I can hear you, and so I can repeat the question for the people I'm recording for. Okay, at the bottom of the page, I'm going to introduce you to something called the Westminster Confession. Some of you may go to churches that know about it, some of you don't, but we'll be using it during this study, and I want you to understand what it is. As Baptists, we don't have a catechism, and we're a little, I think, unfortunate in that. I think it would be useful. But back after the Reformation, about 100 years, some Protestant ministers got together at Westminster Abbey in London and drew up a Protestant statement of fact, of faith. And that's what's called the Westminster Confession. But to make that teachable, then they devised the confessions, catechisms. And we're not a catechismal type church, but I wish we were. I wish I had known about this when my children were little, because it's a wonderful way to teach. The catechisms present the doctrine in question and answer form. So we'll be looking at some of those today. Other denominations have used this confession, including Baptists. We have used it to make our own statements of doctrine. So it's not like we're just going way out in left field. This is a basic Protestant statement of faith. Okay. Now let's go back to page one and we'll get started on our lesson. And we will start with the larger catechism. The larger catechism is for adults. The shorter catechism is for children. If you'll look down your page a little bit, you'll find who is God, the question. This is the shorter catechism. So if you had a child, you might sit him down at the dining room table and ask the child, who is God? And you would teach him to memorize what the catechism says, the definition. God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, unchangeable, in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, etc., etc. So the child would reply that back to you, and it's a way of teaching doctrine that enables them to learn it. And they may not care about learning it, but when it's memorized, it'll do them good. So if you could start over, teach your children or your grandchildren the catechisms. Wonderful.
And it was a wonderful way. Those psalms are still with me today, and they are all scripture. The love of God, Psalm 51, creating me a clean heart, O God. I'm so thankful for those scriptural psalms, and we have gotten away from that.
We have indeed. That's why we enjoy the old hymns, and you will find several of them in your study guide, because they do reflect a whole lot of theology. So let's look at the larger catechism to define who God is. That's where we're going to start. God is a spirit in and of himself, infinite in being, glory, blessedness, and perfection, all-sufficient, eternal, unchangeable, incomprehensible, everywhere present, almighty, knowing all things, most wise, most holy, most just, most merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. That's our study in a nutshell. We're going to spend 24 lessons expanding on that. And we're going to try to be very precise with the definitions and the words that we use, because we need to be just very careful about how we word things. Why should we bother to study God's nature? Most of us are believers. We've been believers for a long time. We think we know God. Well, the better we know him, the more we'll love him, and the better we'll be able to worship him. All love is based on knowledge. All worship should be based on knowledge, not just on how you feel, but what you know. We're going to study God's nature by studying his attributes. His nature is who and what he is in himself, his essential being, so to speak. The attributes are the qualities that describe him. And then his names will also be thrown in there as a definition, perhaps, of his attributes and his nature. And maybe I can explain it better if I say that I have a neighbor who is a joyous person. That is her nature. But somebody might say she does joyful things all the time. Those would be attributes. And the things that she does are that she is in herself that come out in the actions she does. So I should say she has the attribute of being joyful. But then her name is also Joy, which describes her nature and her attributes. So we're going to be studying the attributes of God. And I want you to understand that he is the greatest conceivable study we could ever have. If you spend your whole life doing this, you will never know him completely. How do you think that knowing God better is going to impact your life? Give me some one or two word answers.
I think you can have a better relationship. It's just like, you know, I used to come to Bible study with my friend Karen McMath. Mm-hmm. And we drove and visited all that way down here and drove and visited all the way back. She and I are like sisters now because we did that for 3 years before she moved. It's the same with our God. The more we know him, the better relationship we have with him.
Very good.
That's what I'm looking for in this.
All right.
A better relationship with my Lord.
The more we know him, the better relationship we will have with him. What else?
The more time we spend in his presence.
The more time we spend in his presence, the better we know him, the more time we spend with him. You want to if you know somebody.
Sometimes we don't think about being made in God's image, I think, as women, but it helps us know who we are.
Very good. It helps us know who we are. We are made to be image bearers, if you think about that. And the more we know about God, the more of his nature and his image we can reflect to other people. Someone else. All right. We can worship him, reverence him, and fear him when we see the attributes that he has.
I was going to say understanding what he's trying to tell us. If we know him more,
okay,
we can understand him better.
Very good. If we know him more, we can understand what he's saying to us. Very good. All right, it also satisfies that deep hunger within us. Whether you know it or not, there's a hunger in every soul for God. And I've given you a quote from Pascal, who was a French theologian and mathematician. There is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of each man, which cannot be satisfied by any created thing, but only by God the Creator, made known through Jesus Christ. Augustine said, "Thou hast made us for thyself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee." So, we're going to be studying God by studying his individual attributes because that helps us define him more carefully. But please understand that his attributes make up his entire being. He's not a pie chart. He's not part love and part wrath. He is all love and all wrath. Every attribute we will study characterizes him completely and characterizes his other attributes. He is loving in his wrath. So we will study it as separate parts, but just remember that all goes together. And every attribute is true of every member of the Trinity. It's not that God the Father is more wrathful or God the Son is more loving. They are both. I hear people sometimes say, oh, the God of the Old Testament was a God of wrath, but the God of the New Testament is a God of judgment. If you look at the Old Testament, you're going to find a whole lot of love he put up with those Israelites. If you look at the New Testament, particularly Revelation, you're going to see a whole lot of wrath. So God does not change. He has never changed. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit possess all of these attributes. Now, we will know God more fully in heaven, but we will never know him completely. He is an infinite being, and infinite means having no boundaries, no limits to him. While we are finite creatures, we have boundaries, and even in our resurrected body, we still will have boundaries and never be able to understand him completely. I think we always think, well, we get to heaven and we'll know everything there is. We will never know everything there is about God. We will go on throughout eternity learning more about him. And that in itself is incomprehensible, how we can learn so much more about him. I do need to emphasize that what we know about him on earth is available to us in Revelation. natural revelation in the universe. We can look at the universe and see God to a certain extent, but that's very easily misinterpreted. We're going to focus here on what we can learn about God from what he has revealed about himself in his word. That's where we find our most important information. You don't get to decide for yourself what God is like. You don't say, my God wouldn't do that. You have to stay by what the Bible says. This is what God truly is. There's a great chasm between us, and when we get through, I swear to you, you're going to wish you had more. I wrote this and finished it up during COVID, the first months of COVID, but I've continued to study, and I have found so much more that I am still studying, and I don't think I'll ever stop studying. There's so much more to learn about God and his attributes. But we're at least going to make a start. We're trying to touch the untouchable, to comprehend the incomprehensible, I think that should be. We're trying to fathom the unfathomable, and we're finite creatures trying to understand the infinite. But we're going to do our best, and with God's help, we will accomplish something this year. Look at page 4, if you will. Now, down at the bottom, I've given you Dr. Lawson's attributes, the ones that he will cover. So you have just a list there of his attributes that will be covered in the video lectures. And up at the top part, I think I've given you his outline. So I tried to give you an outline of his lecture so you'd have some place to start when you're writing notes. You're going to want to write notes, and you may well want to go home and listen to this all over again. He will start with the statement, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. I read that and I wasn't sure I understood it, and I've had to think about that for a while, and we will discuss that at a later date. But now Brenda's going to turn on the video for us, and welcome to Dr. Stephen Lawson.